Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer woman of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this episode, we are going to be recapping the last three, yes, that's right, three episodes of The Bold Types. Sorry, we have been a little bit behind, but also didn't get a whole lot of content from episode four.
Things got real juicy in episode six. So we were waiting for the good stuff. We were waiting for the goods.
Exactly. And this is perfect because I feel like we're getting the full arc of the, you know, final climax of season six. Pun intended,
by the way.
So.
Okay, but hold up. What is their ship name? Like Cat and Kia? That's a car, you know?
Yeah, Kia sounds a little dumb.
I don't know.
You know, it would probably be their last names, right? Oh. Kat Edison. I don't know what Tia's last name is.
Oh, we don't know Tia's last name.
I don't know if she has one and I just don't know it, but.
Pretty sure she doesn't have a last name yet. And by the way, the last time we talked about The Bold Type, we were wondering whether city council members get paid or whether it's full-time and part-time. In the city of New York, council members are full-time and they receive a base salary of $148,000.
Damn. That's really cool.
I know.
Damn, I did not know that.
Yeah, but in other cities like Ann Arbor, for example, it's a part-time gig. Most people keep a day job.
Good for Kat, Ben.
I know.
I mean, she would definitely – I don't know what kind of money she's getting at Scarlett, but
– yeah. With these three episodes, episode four, five, and six, four is the deep end, five is technical difficulties, and then six is hashtag TBT, throwback.
TBT.
Thursday. These three episodes are not only the Kat and Tia arc, but also the Kat making the decision to run for city council arc. So in episode four, that's when she sort of makes the decision. Before, it was a cliffhanger, like, is she going to run for city council? Is she not? You know, talking it over with my friend Eric, he was like, you know, her speeches aren't that good. I'm like,
wow.
I mean, her speech at the whole, like, the Scarlett event, I mean, it was a whole bunch of, like, vague talk. And then even her little speech at the bar, that speech was also kind of, it was just, she speaks a lot in broad strokes. But I kind of wondered, before we watched these episodes, I was like, is Kat even ready for this? And I did some math. In 2013, she said she was 20 years old when she terminated a pregnancy, which means that she's in 2019, 26 years old. So she's a 26-year-old running for city council in New York.
I mean, AOC is, what, 28, 29?
That's true, but AOC is a very articulate speaker.
Well, no, she, yeah, of course, of course. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't think that the age is that big of a factor, but I do think that, I think the point they were trying to make with the speeches is that she is, like, a good spontaneous speaker, but I do appreciate Eric's shade at the bold type writer who had to write those speeches for Kat's character.
Yeah, Aisha D is trying to play up her nervousness and how new she is at this, too. So that's part of what's coming across, but, so let's get started. Episode four.
Sure, yeah.
Kat and Tia meet up with somebody named Toby to ask about campaign stuff. Toby, it seems like he knows his way around elections. And Kat asks, what would need to happen? You need all these signatures and you need a platform, blah, blah, blah. Kat says her whole platform is not Reynolds, but it doesn't really say what her own platform is. The guy says he's going to do an Oppo research report or whatever to, like, find out what could potentially be used against Kat in the election. And T is there sort of as Kat's, what do you call, like, support blanket? What do you call that? Security blanket. Thank you.
I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did you not have a security blanket growing up?
I mean, I don't think I would have ever called it that.
Oh.
I had, like, a baby blanket. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I know the phrase security blanket, but I never actually, like, thought of it as, like, a literal blanket that, like, children have. So when you're trying to guess it in that context, it threw me off.
Yeah, because Kat is nervous. This is her first time doing things. It's her first rodeo, but Tia's really there as, like, an emotional support. And she's like, we'll get back to you about what that platform is. And then they ask, is your boss going to be okay with you deciding to run?
My first thought when I was watching this episode was, well, I'd had this thought before, but I think this is the first time I actually, like, consciously had this thought. It was just sort of in the back of my mind before. But Tia seems more butch than the way she dresses. You know, her mannerisms and stuff. And, like, I don't know what it is. It's just every time I see her, I'm like, why are you dressed so femme? It just looks like, doesn't look right, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe she's Futch. Maybe she's somewhere in between.
Maybe. But, you know, now that we've seen how episode 6 ended, I'm wondering if...
That's definitely playing into it.
Overcompensating or, like, you know, not dressing how she's comfortable. But
yeah,
we'll see if that changes, because I know everything's hashtag femme on TV, but I think she'd be a... Sorry, she'd be a great character to make Butch.
You're looking for that representation, too.
I am. And I would love to see black Butch women, especially.
I do want to say that I love that Kat's interest is a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into, POCs and intra-racial dating, because Kat, you know, discovering her blackness. There have been moments that have felt like they know each other or they get each other. She rocks a lot of blazers. And I'm all about the blazer.
Yeah.
I love a good blazer.
I know. And she's got the built, the nice shoulders and everything. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, girl, you would look so good. Butch.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? But anyway, that's just me. I had that in my notes.
So, I had to say it. Yeah, so Kat goes to work the next day and she wants to run it by Jacqueline, but Patrick pulls it out of her first and then immediately tweets about it. And that's how Jacqueline finds out.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline's like, well, I'd be sorry to see you go, but I think you'd make a great city council person.
Mm-hmm.
In which Jacqueline is always so graceful. At Scarlet, that's when Toby, the election guy, comes by and brings up information about the stuff that came up in the Oppo report, which includes the misdemeanor she got from when she punched that random ass Islamophobe. And then there's video of her smoking a joint. And then there's also a terminated pregnancy. So she had an abortion when she was 20 mm-hmm. years old. And that is, I think, the big plot point of this episode, the fact that Kat has to decide whether she wants this information to go out or not. And the Kat and Tia stuff was sort of very subtly introduced in the next scene. So even though this episode was really about Kat deciding what to do about running for city council, knowing this information could get out, Tia comes over to Kat's apartment, and I've noticed they're having a lot of meetings at night. Kat's apartment, late into the night and stuff. Tia goes over to talk about the Oppo report. She also admits that she had an abortion when she was in high school. And she went to a fake clinic where they flood you with propaganda and they're designed to scare women away from actually getting abortions. And this was really the first moment where I think Kat and Tia were connecting emotionally, where they opened up to each other. It's like it's night. They're in the weeds working on election stuff. And now Kat starts talking about this thing that she never talked about. And she's sharing that with Tia because Tia's her campaign manager. You know, Tia's super supportive. She says, you know how bad I want you to run, and I'm by your side if they come for you, but you got to do what's best for you. This is clearly a friend setup. This arrangement says, I'm going to be a good friend to you. And I also share this experience with you too.
Right.
I kind of was like, is this platonic? Is this not? Then, of course, Kat goes to that gala to honor Jacqueline. At the end of the night, after the gala, she runs over to the campaign office while she's still in her gown. Tia's also, again, wearing blazer. She's always wearing blazer. I'm into it. And this moment where Kat is totally worked up, she's ran over to the office and she's got all this adrenaline, reminded me of when she ran to Adina.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Her blood is pumping because she's come to this decision. I was definitely getting that Kadena moment flashback, seeing her all worked up like that.
I'm sure the parallels were intentional.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely intentional. And there's another parallel later, of course, at the end of episode 6. And then she decides that the list of strikes against her should be her platform. And Tia looks at Kat with such pride. Kat wants to shut down the fake clinics and she wants to make a difference. And Tia just looks on like a really proud mama or a proud campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
But then this moment was kind of like, this is a little bit cute. This is a little bit too cute for you to just be a campaign manager and friend.
Oh, for sure.
And you know what I'm talking about. The end of the episode, Tia's like, do you mm-hmm. know what's happening right now? A dance of joy is happening right now. And she gets really cute, right? She's dancing. We're going to win. Yeah. I need you to join me. Dance with me. And that was a really cute moment between the two of them mm-hmm. too. So I enjoyed that scene. But again, I was like, is there anything worth talking about here on the podcast? Because it wasn't really ship material.
Yeah, it was still unclear at this point. It seemed like you said it could have been platonic. I don't think so. I think they were planting the seeds early on, obviously with some of the lines on the show, them asking about Tia or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
that episode alone was not really worthy of coverage. But now that we know it's part of a broader arc, of course, It's an essential part of the story now.
Yeah, I had to go back and rewatch the scenes to see if I missed something. Like, did the vibe start in episode 4 or did the vibe start in episode 5?
Well, I think it heavily started in episode 5. So in technical difficulties, Tia is prepping Kat for an upcoming debate and they have like a hashtag moment.
Oh my God.
When Tia is leaving. And it looks like Kat wants to go in for a kiss, but like at first, at this point, I thought that the moment just like went over Tia's head, that she was just like smiling like, okay, bye. You know, like, but I don't know. Maybe now if I rewatch it, I'll see something different.
Yeah.
But it looked to me like Kat was into it and Tia was just like oblivious. But.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's 2 a.m. when they're meeting and it's part of, they say that. It's like, it's fucking 2 a.m. You're like doing all this debate prep late into the night at Kat's apartment. Mm-hmm. And Tia's just there like continuing to build her up, you know?
Yeah.
And like, she's like, she says, you're amazing and inspiring. And then she says, you're pretty freaking cool, Kat. And she says it in that voice. Kat's response is, oh, you're a lot cooler than I am. And then she's like, you're my I know, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, Kat is like just trying to figure out what to do with flattery. She's like, I don't know what to do with flattery. I'm just going to like say exactly what I'm feeling, which is, I think you're pretty cool too. You want to date? Like, and then she says, and this is like Kat checking that she's not getting a vibe. So Kat does this multiple times. She sends a signal out, like, just to figure out, like, where is this girl? I'm trying to figure out. She says, and Kat says to Tia, you're my campaign manager. You have to tell me that stuff, right? And Tia says in, like, the straightest.
Putting out the feelers.
Yeah, she's putting this out there. And Tia says with, like, without even batting an eye, no, I don't. And there's a moment during that exchange when you can see Kat's heart jump. And her facial expression just shows her thinking and being surprised at her sudden attraction. Like, I've noticed that Aisha Dee does a great thing with blinking. She does a great job with blinking. During the scene, Kat looks at Tia and she kind of just like blinks a little bit more out of nervousness. And you can see from her face that she's suddenly feeling something and trying to read what Tia is giving off. And then she like watches Tia leave the apartment and the camera pans back to Kat's face and Kat, like, she doesn't bite her lip, but she kind of just like, you know, tightens her jaw tightens and you can tell that she's thinking this over.
Mm-hmm. I think that Aisha Dee like studied those useless lesbian memes.
Oh my God.
And is like learning our ways from us, you know, straight from the source.
Yeah.
Like, how do lesbians act when, like, there's a cute girl around? Oh, they're useless lesbian. Okay, got it.
But I think now
she's done her interpretation of a useless lesbian, and it's so relatable.
Yeah, but you want to know what makes this even more relatable is that it's specific. It's specifically the type of dynamic where suddenly you're attracted to your friend, and you don't know what to do about it, and you need to suss them out before you make any moves.
Right. Yeah.
This is that particular type of queer moment where, like, are we becoming friends? Are you into me? I don't know. What does this mean? And I think this isn't to say that Tia's not truly butch underneath her femness, but it is also a very femme for femme thing to, like, not know what to do when you're flirting and to just, like, compliment each other or build each other up. And wear great clothes.
Yeah. Right. I feel like it's so, like, animalistic in a way. You know what I mean? It's just, like, the mating calls, the, like, bright feathers. It's, like, I don't know. It's just so – it's so, like, organic of us, you know?
Yeah.
We're just, like, I'm going to compliment you and wear the nicest things in my outfit every time I know I'm going to see you.
Yeah, and we're going to hang out we're going to hang out in my apartment very casually until 2 a.m. That's it.
Yeah. Just to give you a little taste. Just to see if you like what I'm putting down.
Yeah. You know? Right. Oh, that scene.
Like, if you answer the mating call, you know.
So when I first watched this scene, before I knew what was going to end up happening between the two of them, I was like, oh, crap. Kat's going to get heartbroken because what if Tia doesn't mean it? I mean, I know you immediately pegged Tia as queer, but I wasn't sure because we saw that one guy at the event. Marco? What was his name? That she introduced, and I was like,
who knows?
Yeah. And so I was like, what is going on?
I thought she was, like, I pegged her for queer as in, like, out queer because of, like, the alternative lifestyle haircut, general style. I was like, oh, that girl's queer and she knows it. So then, you know, after this episode, I was like a little like, whoops, maybe not. But the fact that they had Kat also peg her as queer, yes, and like sort of Sutton and Jane at the same time, although you can't really trust their opinion, so it doesn't matter. But that made me realize that like the writers are aware that they made her look queer. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they'll put in like someone with a quote unquote edgy style. And I'm like, no, that's queer style.
Yeah.
And all the queer people watching this have coded that character as queer, even though the writers absolutely did not have that intention.
Yeah, yeah. She has way too many blazers to be a straight woman, I think.
Yeah. It's like Susie Orman in her fucking closet. Right?
So, like, Kat watches Tia leave the apartment, and she's thinking this over. And then the next morning, back at Scarlet, she's talking to Jane and Sutton, and she's like, I haven't had a sexy single dating life since Adina. And Sutton says, without missing a beat, what about Tia? You get a pretty stupid smile on your face every time she texts you. And I'm like, Sutton! Because she was also the person who, like, you know, stalked Tia on Instagram to see if Tia was single also. So Sutton's, like, looking out for Kat.
She's perceptive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Kat's first response is stupid because she's my campaign manager and hetero, I think. And Jane says, well, did something happen? And she's like, no, nothing happened. I'm just getting a vibe. Or maybe I'm wanting to get a vibe. I don't know. But that line in particular also hit me because I'm like, that feels like a queer moment. Like where you want a vibe to be there and you're maybe I'm imagining it. Maybe I'm not. I don't know what any of this means, but I want us to be vibing.
Yeah. I have that line in my notes as well. It was a very, like you said, relatable line. And also like, I felt like it was one of those things where sometimes like girls who are just close friends act like that. So you're like, this is really close. This is like really borderline for me. Mm. And I feel like they portrayed it in a way where it's like subtle enough that even we as the audience are like, yeah, I'm getting a vibe, or maybe I'm just wanting to get a vibe. Like from the character Tia.
Yeah.
Like we're in that same boat with Kat where we're trying to figure out where that character is going. And we're like, there's something there. Maybe I just want it to be there. You know?
Yeah. This is also a classic besties scene because both Jane and Sutton are reading Kat, even though Kat's not saying anything. Like, they see right through it and they ask the questions and they kind of do like a very gentle interrogation to see if they can pull out Kat's feelings that she's still too afraid to say out loud.
Yep, yep, yep. Absolutely. They're great friends.
Yeah, they're good friends.
So luckily, Sutton and Richard are hosting a dinner party, and so Kat decides this is a perfect opportunity to invite Tia along and see kind of where that goes.
Yeah. Oh, before they have that, before she invites her though, they actually have a lunch meeting at Scarlet. And Tia's showing her the website. And again, with the flattery where Kat says, are you a witch or something? Because this website is some black girl magic. And Tia's response is, I mean, look at my candidate. I had to step up my game. And I'm like, this is flirtatious. This line feels like a vibe.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And like, so they're leaning.
And that's what like prompts Kat, you know,
to think about it. Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
So like Tia leans in closer to Kat to show her the website. And she kind of puts her arm around Kat's chair. And that's also a dyke move when you're like, you put your arm around the back of somebody's chair. And you can see Kat flinch a little. Her body language suddenly turns a bit awkward because she's more aware of her attraction to Tia. Then she's talking about how there's a silver lining in the hack happening at Scarlet because now she can spend more time with your devoted campaign manager. And she says it in a very sing-songy British voice. And that felt very flirtatious too. And Kat says like, well, that is definitely a silver lining. And also, have you checked out the Scarlet Closet? We have the entire Fenty line in the beauty closet or something like that. And
yeah.
And then Tia's response is, well, now you're just talking dirty to me. I'm like, who says that? Who says that?
I know.
And
I know.
Isn't flirting? The hell? I'm just like, wow, this must be blowing Kat's mind. That Tia is like giving off these vibes, but like supposedly straight.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's why Kat was kind of mulling it over before. And then I think like we see like during the meeting, she's like getting more and more reasons to just finally make up her mind and be like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to ask her to the dinner party. This has to be flirting. This has to be something. At least I have an excuse for why I thought it was flirting because it seems so obvious.
Yes, because she had to say that line of like, you're just talking dirty to me.
Yeah.
But then Tia says she's going on a date that night and Kat very cleverly says, who's mm-hmm. the guy or girl? Right? This is her again.
Yeah.
Like instance number two, where Kat is putting out a feeler to see where she lands. And her response is, guy.
We all know this trick.
Yeah, I know, right? You're like, who's the guy or girl? Oh, and Tia's response is, guy, yeah, I'm a boring straight girl. It's date number three, so maybe mm-hmm. we'll see. And when this scene happened, I was a little tiny bit crushed. I was like, girl, I have been there. I have been there where you think you're vibing with a straight girl and then she like definitely is
definitely
hetero. Oh, it sucks.
I know. And then like whenever they kind of laugh it off like that, like they're not like affronted or anything, that's I feel like when you believe it more because it sounds like they're okay with that idea of it, but they're just like, you know what I mean? They're like, no, that's not me. And I feel like those are always the more confident no's that you get. Like when they get like kind of like, you thought I was gay, you know what I mean? Like kind of affronted, it's like, okay. Yeah. I think Doth does protest too much.
Exactly. Whenever someone does that, you know they're trying to compensate for some shit.
So it's like, a little weird. But anyway, so it seems like a confident no. And
she even says that to like, Jane and Sutton.
On the straight. Yeah. But miraculously later, she changes her mind. And I can't remember if she blows off the date or it got canceled. Did she say? Because I think she just called Kat and was like, yeah, I'll come to dinner.
Yeah. Well, Kat
In my notes I wrote, she changes her mind. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah. So Tia texts Kat and says, on second thought, would rather hang with you tonight.
And so it did sound like she just canceled on the date.
Oh, yeah. She definitely canceled on date and wanted to hang out with Kat and a bunch of strangers. I'm like, really?
Yep.
You canceled on a third date with some guy to hang out with Kat, who's just a friend, and a bunch of strangers who you've never met in an apartment you've never been to.
Yeah. So I think that that's like another pretty clear message, right? But at this point, she's told Kat point blank that she's straight. So Kat's like, I would imagine super confused, but just choosing to go with what Tia told her for now. Mm-hmm, and like, you know, oh yeah, she's straight. She's just like, whatever. She's pretty chill, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure what she was thinking, but.
I mean, it's the safe thing to do. Like if someone tells you they're straight, you're supposed to just believe them and not question it.
Because even if they're not straight, it's like they're probably not ready or like whatever. You know what I mean? Like if they say they're straight, that's like a reason alone to just leave it alone, even if you don't believe it.
Yes, of course. You're like, they very well may be in the closet, but they've already stood their ground on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, then of course, Tia turns up in a wine red velvet blazer, again with these amazing blazers, at Richard's apartment. And she's talking Kat up in front of the guests saying, you have to hear her speak. It's incredible. And Kat's like, well, she somehow convinced me to run. And then Tia says, well, when I see what I want, I go for it. And looks at Kat.
Yeah. That was one line of many of her flirtations of the night. Tia is flirting the entire night.
Oh,
Poor Kat. Like, I mean, imagine if you're her. Like, I haven't been in that specific situation where, like, someone tells me they're straight and then they're hitting on me that same night. Like, fortunately, that kind of thing hasn't happened to me. But I'm just like, what do you even do at that point? It's like, I don't know. I feel like if somebody tells me they're straight and then they're acting like that, I would just tell them like, look, this does kind of make me uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, at some point it's almost embarrassing in front of other people. Right. Cause other people can tell it's not like a private moment that they're having, you know, it's in front of everyone that she says this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That was not a subtle line. When I see what I want, I go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it reminds me of like Anissa's flirting in Black Lady.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Or that girl that she hooked up with.
The musician, yes.
Isn't she? Didn't she actually say that to her? The musician? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or like she said something outrageous to her like that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like really funny because replaying those scenes in my head and thinking about like how afraid Tia is, but then seeing how smooth she is when she's flirting. It's just like really
It just comes naturally.
Yeah. Like she's at the dinner table and she turns to Kat and says, have you had the green beans? And Kat says, I made the green beans. And Tia's response is, and she can cook. That's hot. Who says that except somebody that's trying to flirt yeah. with you? There's no alternative yep. explanation. Why would you say that? Why would you say
I
that?
Know. I know. This is far beyond like close female friends like comments. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Cause we all know those like, you know, flirty straight girlfriends who just like will like tell you you're hot, but they don't say like yeah. and she can cook. I know. That's hot. Like that's a different level.
Yeah.
You know? That's like intentional conscious flirting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was actually kind of annoyed with Tia because she said she's straight, but she's flirting. And that's some kind of fucked up right. straight girl shit, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
And this I was thinking the same thing.
Exactly. I'm like, that's really fucked up. I mean, I'm sure you've had like straight girls like flirt with you and you're like, but you don't mean it. So why are you doing this?
Yeah, it's weird. And part of me is also like, it's funny because in those moments in real life, I've often thought like, are you completely straight? Because I feel like some of you kind of wants this, you know, like not like me specifically, but just like that kind of a chance on of that kind of interaction. Yeah. And so it's funny because I'm like watching this show thinking like, huh, it's funny because it's always been like that in real life. But Jesus. And then in the show, it turned out to be a little bit true as well. So I don't know if this is Tia subconsciously flirting because, you know, we'll get to it in a second, but when Kat confronts her about it, it's a different story. Oh, so yeah. Tia is like chatting up the dinner guests about the campaign and trying to get money from them, which is like definitely weird and a little bit annoying, even though it turned out okay. Like nobody like got upset or anything, but I would have been really annoyed if I were Kat.
I was
and
annoyed.
Kat tells her, you know, yeah, that's like, it's a little inappropriate. You know what I mean? Like I'm bringing you as a guest to like a friend's thing. So even if you think we're here as friends, like, you know, anyway, so, and Kat even tells her, she says she didn't invite her as her campaign manager. She invited her as a friend, .. maybe more.
Yeah.
And Tia's not, you know, whatever, plays dumb, yeah. in my humble opinion. And Kat is like, you know, you were flirting with me at dinner, and Tia basically gaslights her. And this is where I got really annoyed with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And says, Kat is must be confused if that's what she thought and that's not what Tia was doing. And I'm like, girl, even if you're in the closet, you need to own the fuck up and not mess with people's hearts like that. Like, yeah. I just feel like, you know, even if you weren't aware of it at the time, if somebody points it out after, you can't honestly sit there and be like, oh, I wasn't doing anything. You yeah. know you were doing something. Yeah. You know you were.
Yeah.
So this really bothered me.
Oh my God. I hated Tia after that scene. And Kat sort of is really open and transparent. She's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure you out. Like, I feel like maybe you've been flirting with me. And Tia's like, I mean, we've been spending a lot of time together. It's my job to get to know you and talk you up. I think maybe you got confused. And that's when I got real angry. I was like stomping through the apartment. And Kat,
yeah.
Kat being like really mature says, really? That's all this is? And Tia's response is, if you got another impression, that's coming from you, but that's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
God.
Whoa. Like, okay. Like the gaslighting. And then instead of saying, I'm sorry I flirted with you and made you believe something, she should have just apologized for sending mixed signals. She should have said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for that to come off as flirtatious. I'm not gay. That's all she had to say.
Yeah.
Own it.
So see, and this is where we're seeing the over denial that I was talking about before, where it's like a little bit suspicious at this point. Like, what me flirting? No, there's no way. You must be confused. You know, it's like, all right, calm down. You know, like I said, I mean, she knows what she was doing. Oh, it's very God. Easy to see in hindsight, even if she, you know, wasn't necessarily aware of it at the time. Although I think that she was. I think she was enjoying herself a lot at that dinner party.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Because of the flirting. And so, like we said, we were both very bothered by this scene, but by now I have forgiven Tia, so.
I have not, Amira. I definitely okay, have not all forgiven right. Tia for
you
this
you know, maybe I've scene. Set the bar low because I've seen so many shows where the first interaction with the person that later becomes their girlfriend is, like, so shitty.
Okay, yeah.
Like, if you look at Pretty Little Liars,
I was
you
thinking
know,
exactly
Emily's
of that.
First interaction. Yeah, like Allison fucking bullied her specifically about liking girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paige tried to drown her, for fuck's sake. I mean, Anyway, even Root and Shaw arguably have like a pr- – I mean, although but like that's obviously kinky. It was hot. That's so some like, kinky kind of like tied into the characters.
That was not with Emily on Pretty Little Liars. It was fucked up. This scene stayed with me like well after the episode because it like definitely reminded me of instances where I've tried to like say, hey, you're flirting with me and the other person denies it. And like – I've also definitely been gaslit by friends and other people who have been giving me those vibes or being like, very flirtatious and reminded like, oh, no, I'm not interested, or oh, no, that was not what I was doing. You're making it up in your head. I think – I mean, and maybe because I've had this happen to me personally, that's why it like disturbed me. And like I guess I'll go on the record and say that I don't ship Kat and Tia together because of this scene.
Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And because you're so madly in love with Adina, but
yes,
you know.
Yes, we'll get back to
leave
that.
Leave that aside for
we'll
now.
We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
But I'm like – I don't know. I've had like weird – the closest experience I've had to like a straight girl misleading – me, like this girl in my femme studies class in undergrad was flirting with me constantly. And I ran into her at a party and she told me that if she was gay, she would want to date me. And then she kissed me right on the mouth. And I'm like,
oh my God,
what? And I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you say that? Why would you tell me that you're definitely straight and not queer and then kiss me on the mouth?
Uh-huh.
It's very confusing. Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's very confusing. And so, like, I'm like, poor Kat, her mind is, like, spinning in circles. She's trying to stay super mature about it. And in the following episode, episode 6, we do see Kat's maturity really come through.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think so, too. Sorry, I was, like, thinking about similar things that have happened to me, but nothing quite like your story. I was like, you know, I've had girls drunkenly be like, you know, if I were gay, like give me a little wink or something. And it's like very obvious to me that it's just like a drunken straight girl thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, I'm interpreting that as you saying that you think that I'm attractive. But I, I just feel like if somebody sober came up to me and said, if I were gay, I'd be into you. Or what did she say?
If I were a lesbian, I'd date you. And then she,
if I were a lesbian, I'd date you and then kiss you. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, sorry. I just, it took
I know,
me a second
right?
To get over it. I needed more processing time.
I mean, earlier I was also telling Amira about a date I went on with someone where at the end of the date, I thought the date went really well. I asked what she was looking for, and she said she was only on Tinder to look for friends. And I was just like, how did I misread everything? Like, what happened? What, like, that whole time I thought we were, like, vibing? Oh, it was just friend vibes? What? Like,
this is like a classic baby gay mistake, though, right? Like, not realizing that that should be in your profile.
Yes. Yeah, she's... But- Yeah, so the story was that she'd only just realized she's queer, and so she's looking to make friends, is not ready to date because she's never dated women before. And so I cut her some slack, but I was also like, you got to put that in your profile because I thought we spent the last 2.5 hours on a date walking through the park at night. Like, come on! Like, what? And I mean, it's just like
– That is some romantic shit.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And so I'm just like, I'm like watching this shit with Tia. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. Especially now that we've seen episode 6, and going back and watching those scenes from episode 5, I'm like, this is messed up. Anyways, so.
But you know, I think that your story is pretty relevant because just like with your date, I do think that we should cut Tia a little bit of slack. I mean, she definitely did something she should not have done, but I don't think that she had any malintent when she did it. She wasn't like, ooh, I'm going to flirt with Kat just to fuck with her mind, even though I told her I'm straight. You know what I mean? Like, she was really just kind of protecting herself and her own feelings. And it's like, you know, that kind of internalized homophobia or wanting to be closeted or something is like not something I can relate to. And I feel very privileged that that has not been my experience. But I know that it like, it can like really fuck with people and kind of get under their skin. So
yeah,
I just, you know,
I kind of wonder if Tia has internalized that homophobia so much that she doesn't even know when she's flirting. It's like another switch is turned on, but then the rest of her brain can't Like, the cognitive dissonance. Like, the rest, like, part of her, like, her body and her mouth and like, she's speaking and moving and gesturing in a way that's flirtatious, but it does not compute in her brain. Like, it doesn't even register to her that she's flirting with someone and is attracted to her, to this person, and maybe doesn't even realize it until Kat says it on the street that night. And that's when Tia goes into her, oh, I have to protest. No, I'm not allowed to be like that. I'm gonna deny it altogether.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if this is going to sound shitty of me to say, but it's kind of like how flirting with somebody that you're not super into is almost easier in a way, because there's like no risk. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but then it's like sometimes after you're like, oh yeah, was I flirting? I guess so. Like, you know what I mean? Like you don't even necessarily realize it at the time. So I feel like that's why it was so easy for Tia to do. Because if you told her like, hey, go flirt with that girl that you like, she would just completely bungle it, right? Like, I can't imagine her actually being good at like intentional flirting.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just like, it seems casual to her because she's in her mind not flirting. She's just interacting.
Yes. But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So this episode, I was not actually anticipating any content because I saw the trailer.
Same.
Last week. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, the story of when they met and blah, blah, blah. And I knew that Kat wouldn't be out yet, but I was like, oh, maybe they're going to show some, I don't know, flashback of like an early Gaby experience before she even, you know, had that awakening in season one. But what I didn't anticipate is how much present day content there was. It was split almost like 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we actually did get a little bit of content with Tia, and a little bit went a long way.
Yes. It was a little bit. It was like, it was a little bit with a lot of stuff. So there are two scenes.
Yeah. I counted only three scenes. One? There's only two scenes with Tia, but there's a third scene in my notes about when they talk about Tia, the group of three friends.
Oh, okay. I only noted two Kat and Tia scenes. So the first scene, I think they're at a coffee shop, and Kat is like, it's the next morning. Kat is clearly ready to move forward. She's behaving very maturely, like someone has rejected your advance. You have to move forward. And I mean, I thought it might be awkward, but I didn't expect Tia to say, hey, you need a new campaign manager.
And it seemed like when Kat first sat down that they kind of did like a, are we cool? Okay, cool exchange, you know? Mm. And then Tia seemed cool with it. But then once Kat starts talking to her about campaign stuff, Tia's like, actually, I think it's a mistake for me to be your campaign manager. And says something about like when personal feelings get involved. Did you write down that quote?
Oh, yes. I did not write down that quote. She said personal feelings get involved. That means she's admitting she has personal feelings.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, you know, it's like when personal feelings get involved, it like doesn't go well. I don't remember the exact quote, but I was like, all right, whose personal feelings are you talking about? Because I thought she was trying to, again, you know, deflect to Kat and, you know, accuse Kat of having personal feelings about it because she was supposedly making advances. Although clearly we see it that Tia was making the advances. Yeah, I feel like it was a kind of intentionally vague wording, the personal feelings, because she didn't say whose.
Yeah.
But anyway, she gives her a list of other options for campaign managers, and Kat's like, oh shit, you really mean this? Like, Tia stayed up, did the research, printed out this list of campaign managers, put it in a folder with the full intention of handing it to Kat at their next meeting.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, she had this, she thought this out.
Oh yeah. And when that's kind of when I was like, the lady doth protest too much. Like when she's not ready, she's like not ready to just move forward after that happened. That to me was like, some shit is up. Like, that is definitely not the last we're seeing of Tia. And like, I don't know what that shit is, but Tia is maybe queer and like just figuring it out or something. So that's what I thought from watching that first scene. Like, Tia hasn't figured out she's queer yet, and that's why she's confused and needs to back away.
Right. That is also what I was thinking.
Right. And so Kat shows up to Tia's apartment at the end of the episode. They always say – it reminded me so much of her first kiss with Adina when she goes to Adina's apartment and is outside the front door. God, I miss Adina.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of like her storylines go – like Kat's storylines go like that, where like they have a scene at the beginning of the episode that kind of like sets up the story. Mm-hmm. And then there's a conversation with Jane and Sutton.
Yes.
That progresses it slightly, and that's where we see Kat make the decision of what she's going to do next. And then the final scene is her carrying out that decision. So the girls encouraged her to reach out to Tia and ask if she'll stay on as her campaign manager. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point they suggested that just because they're like, they could tell that Kat was feeling really down about her leaving as a campaign manager, and not just to be like, oh no, like keep trying. She may be gay. You know what I mean? Like it was like a sincere, like, hey, I know that you liked having her on your campaign, and I think that you should just go talk to her again. You know what I mean? Like they weren't like reading more into it. So yeah. I feel like sometimes straight people, when they're friends with gay people, have a tendency to like push a little too much. Mm, and it's like, yes. Look, I know this is the only gay person I've met like in the last 3 months, but like, it's not going to work.
Then we come to this final scene between Kat and Tia outside Tia's apartment. And Kat is like totally open. And I have to say, I love Kat's openness, her honesty, and her willingness to just put it out there, even when it feels uncomfortable and scary.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing her mature, remember? Because we wanted her to do this when she was with Adina. We wanted clear and effective communication.
Oh my gosh.
Look at her go.
I know. Like, it's like she's gotten so much hotter this season, I have to say. First with the braids. And then with like this like owning stuff and like, you know, stepping up. It's been really wonderful to watch her grow like that.
Yeah, and she's figuring herself out and right. Good for her.
Like so now she's the like what is it that the student has become the teacher or some shit like that. So like Kat tells Tia, I think it's a huge mistake. I'm telling you, I'm willing to put aside whatever this is because what I think we're doing with this campaign is incredible and really special. And if you can't see that, that's fine. I'll walk away. And then she waits a beat. Tia doesn't say anything. And she's like, okay, cool. Like she's like, fine, I'll back away. And Tia says, Kat, wait, want to sit? And then the two of them sit on the front steps.
Which I thought she was inviting her inside.
I thought so too. I'm like, no.
But then they just sat down right there. I was like,
no, they don't want to build a new set. They just want to use the city. Right.
Oh, yes. That is exactly the reason. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Actually, whenever there are scenes on TV where people are hanging out at the front door, I'm like, oh, they don't want to deal with the set right now. I see.
That's exactly what it is. Because you can rent space to shoot on a stoop, but, you know, building a set or something, it's like a whole nother story.
Exactly. It's too much anyway. It's cheaper this way. So she's like, Kat, you are so comfortable with who you are. You get in people's faces and you don't apologize for it. And Kat starts, she's like, no, you do that too. And Tia's like, no, I don't. And she pauses for a minute and she admits that the first time she kissed a girl when she was 17, it was, quote, electric and terrifying. And then she didn't do it again until senior year of college. And by then, quote, I knew this was what I wanted and I don't want to want it.
This was a bombshell because like you were saying, I mean, I also had the same prediction, which is that she didn't realize she was queer. And I was like, that's annoying because I'm kind of sick of that storyline. Like we just saw it with Kat and it's kind of annoying that like that is going to happen multiple times, but maybe it's like, oh, you know, because we were seeing the Adina, the parallels with Adina before. And so I was like, oh, maybe this is like the same thing where now Kat's on the other end of it. And someone's like, realizing that they're gay with her.
Yeah.
But I did actually kind of like the twist because I feel like we don't see this as much.
No.
Where they're closeted and they're like they know, but they're denying it.
Yes. Yes. And she's like, and Kat's like, what do you mean? And Tia says, not everyone's like you, Kat. It's complicated. I don't want to go there and we'd be spending a lot of time together. I can't. And so that line says like, oh, the personal feelings part was on her end. She is worried about her personal feelings for Kat. And like during the scene, watching Kat just like really listen and take in everything that Tia was saying, also another sign of her maturity. And that's when she sort of says in a very resigned but at like resolved way, she says, okay, hey, thank you for telling me that. That sounds really hard and really lonely. If you ever just need somebody to talk to, I'm around. I know, Kat. Right?
Jesus, I love her so much.
I really do. I love her in this episode. I love her in the last few episodes.
Yeah. And like that, those lines, like that was the perfect way
to
handle that. You know what I mean? Like she didn't get upset with her for gaslighting her or for, you know what I mean? Like any of that. She was just like, you know what? I can be here for you if you need me. And I don't know. I was just blown away. Yeah. Blown away. But we're not done yet.
No, we're not. And so I thought, like, wow, Kat is being a friend to Tia because that's what Tia needs right now. And so I was like, oh, that's it. That's where that's what this is. It's like they're yep. like nothing. They're just friends. And I was like, oh, we're gonna get the whole queer friendship thing. And now Kat can be a mentor to somebody else. But yeah. then Tia stops her and goes in for the kiss.
And she took her time.
I know, she really
like,
did.
Oh my I'm God. Just watching like, oh my God, it's happening. It's coming. Where is it? Where's the kiss? And it was just like they're looking at each other's eyes. And I could just see the moment where like Kat was like, oh, yeah, that's what's going to happen. But she still made Tia go in for it all the way. Kat did not move, like lean forward at all.
No, not at all. This is not, I'm going to meet you 50%. It's like, you're going to come 95 and I'll come 5. Like, yeah. That's
right, right. Just like she just pushed her chin out like slightly.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, Kat, you just, you know how to reel them in.
Like, if you want this, you have to come to me. You got to come to me. I already put myself out there for you, lady. You meet me.
Everyone
where I'm
take
at.
Notes.
Thank
on
you.
That.
Yes.
you know, Kat's had her turn topping now, so she knows what to do.
Oh, yes. yeah. So, like, the parallels with the first kiss with Adina are definitely obvious. And mm-hmm. I went back and I rewatched that scene with Adina, like the first Kadena kiss. And God, I missed Adina
cry?
So much. Like, I've watched it many times, I will say. But
yeah,
like, and so I want to like remind the listeners of what the interaction was like with Adina. Kat goes to Adina's door and she gives her the letter and she says, what I really wanted to say in the letter was that how amazing you are. You're courageous and thoughtful and honest. And you're the only person I've ever met who completely throws me off my game. And I think I really like you. And the way that she describes, Adina as like courageous, thoughtful, and honest, those are all things that Kat is becoming. She's grown a lot. And those are also qualities that I suspect Tia doesn't really have. And so that's why I'm not really shipping them. I mean, I always feel like it's dangerous to date somebody who hasn't come to terms with their sexuality. Just period.
I agree. It can be difficult. I mean, I think it's something they'll have to like navigate in time. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like somebody who hasn't figured themselves out completely and somebody who has been so like harsh on themselves and quick to deny it for so long. It's like, it's hard pulling somebody out of that. And we don't even know right now if Tia wants to be pulled out of that.
Yeah. I mean,
this is kind of a scary thing for Kat.
The difference though is like Tia is self-hating and Kat never felt weird about her attraction to women or her attraction to Adina.
Exactly.
Like she didn't have a whole, oh, this is gross and I'm not allowed to feel that. Just sort of like admitted to herself that she likes Adina in that way.
Yeah, if anything, it was the opposite because she was like, oh, I actually want to like try seeing other people. She's like, I need to be doing this more.
yeah. Like, so I'm like, I'm not sure that Tia's behavior in episode 5 and 6 make me want Kat to actually date her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the first issue that comes up is the issue that will keep coming up, and that is Tia's, I guess, status in the closet and her self-hating shit. Like, that's stuff you got to work out, talk to a therapist. Like, you got to figure this out.
I will say, though, that the chemistry in that scene, I mean, they were feeling it, that kiss. Like, you know, if you compare it to, like, let's say Uncharmed with Mileta, I was like, I feel like I was never really sold on that because I just didn't feel like the chemistry was there. I mean, with Kat and Tia, it was like almost like a loving attraction. You know what I mean? Like they're like super into each other. And like with Mileta, it was like more of a lustful attraction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm of course just comparing it to another ship where like I didn't necessarily see as much chemistry. So I'm just saying like whether or not we're super shipping it, I do think that the writers are like kind of going all in on this right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to bring back Adina later. Like what if it's literally going to be like the queer woman plot in Charmed where like we think Adina's gone and then she gets with Tia and then Adina comes back into the picture, you know?
Yeah. I think, well, we know that Nicole Boucher is supposed to show up in this season at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
We just don't know in what capacity. I mean, I'm excited about this development because even though we've seen coming out stories, we've not seen – those have usually been coming out stories for the main character, and that's the main character arc. We have not seen queer storylines where someone is helping someone else come out.
That's true.
So that's
if we
what
have, I, it's very rare.
Yeah. So that's what's novel about this. And this is also very like when Kat and Adina first met, Adina was like, I see you and I see through your bullshit. That's what Adina did for Kat. And now Kat has switched over roles. She's like, I see you, Tia, and I also see through your bullshit. So that's like, I think that's where the connection is, because maybe Tia feels so seen and supported by Kat, and vice versa. That, yeah, I mean, I support Kat having this nice rebound, I'll just say.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we covered 3 episodes of The Bold Type, episodes 4, 5, and 6, and most of the Tia and Kat storyline.
Yep, yep. And we just got good news this week, which is that The Bold Type has been renewed for a 4th season.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And so we have that to look forward to. We can feel like we can get fully invested in season 3 because we got a season 4.
Yeah, yeah. Which means that if Adina doesn't appear much in season 3, she could come back doing more in season 4.
Yeah.
So super excited.
Still hoping for that love triangle, though.
Oh my God, right? every TV show needs a queer woman of color love triangle. Just putting that out
mm-hmm.
there. Speaking of love triangles, the Melko Greta drama continues on Charmed, but we're not going to recap that until we've seen the season finale. So our next podcast episode will cover both of those final 2 episodes of the season. I think it'll make more sense, and hopefully we'll create a better experience for you as a listener. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll recap them as a 2-part season finale.
Yeah.
So very exciting. I cannot wait for this next episode of Charmed.
I know, me too. But thank you for your patience waiting for our recap of The Bold Type. We know we skipped a few weeks, but I hope this episode makes up for it. We appreciate you continuing to tune in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we hope you'll join us again next time.